In the studio, I have Becky. Becky, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks very much for having me.
You're welcome. Do you want to tell people in y'all who you are first?
Some people might know me. I have a few things going, definitely. So I'm most known around town for my eyelash and eyebrow microblading business, definitely. But I suppose the reason I'm here is to chat about play therapy.
Exactly, yeah. as I was saying beforehand, you're a qualified play therapist.
I am, thank God. It was a bit of a journey now between the jigs and the reels of COVID for me to get here.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was paused now. I was in the middle of doing my 200 hours placement when the world decided it was going to shut down.
Okay.
And I only had, would you believe, 11 hours left.
Wow.
11 hours left, and I had to wait 2 years to finish it out. It was soul destroying, and it was so tough because my qualification is UK based.
Okay.
So they were kind of working away and they weren't understanding us here, saying we cannot do it. Mm. We can't work. We'd be breaking all sorts of guidelines, etc. So it was very, it was an absolute minefield. There was times there where I was like, do I really need to finish this out now? But I had to do it. But it was a fairly tough journey now, I have to say, to actually get, like, what should have been 2 straight years ended up being nearly 5. So it was a bit of a journey now.
Yeah, and I suppose the difference with play therapy, I suppose, I mean, with psychotherapy, we could go online and stuff like that. But
yes,
yours is more tactile. It's more close up. You can't do 2 metres apart.
No, and you can't do, you definitely can't do a Skype call with a child for play therapy.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Definitely not going to work.
Yeah.
And because it's not a talk therapy, it's not, so you don't, essentially, the best therapy would come from no speaking at all, really.
Right.
Like, a child will get more from a session if you're not talking and you just let them completely enter their process. So it'd be very hard to deliver that. Now, we were exploring options when everything kind of shut down. We were like, what can we actually do here to get it to qualify as an actual placement hour, like just to get the hours built up, but it just wasn't feasible. You'd be cheating yourself out of the qualification.
Yes.
And that's definitely something that I take pride in the qualification that I sourced, was the amount of placement hours. It was, I feel like, so like, could take on anything in a room, you know. And it's definitely, I do feel like you can, placement was definitely something I missed out on in my psychology degree.
Right.
I did a level 8 in psychology and there was no placement at all. Now, obviously, it's quite hard to do placement in a psychology degree, obviously, between the jigs and the reels of confidentiality, etc. But definitely, it is something that I absolutely take. It was completely invaluable, was the amount of placement hours that
placement
I had completed.
Hours.
No, it was a bit annoying, all right, towards the end with the 11 hours hanging over my head, but we got there in the end.
So for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what play therapy is,
yeah, so in my own words, like, there's so many different kind of like definitions of it, we'll say, but in my own words to explain it, it is basically like how I'd like to explain it to people is you could get multiple children of multiple different nationalities in a room together and they're all going to play together. They don't need to talk. They're all going to play. They're all going to pick up their little dinosaurs and their little dinky cars and their sand or whatever, and they're going to play it together. They don't need to talk to each other to communicate.
Okay.
So it's basically like you're getting a child, you're coming down to a child's level of their language and being able to help them to process what's going on in their heads through a language that they understand, which is play. So now it's getting a little bit more clouded nowadays with technology and stuff because some kids are very technology focused, as we all know. They have the head in the tablets and head on the Nintendos, but definitely, like, it's helping them to process any sort of troubles through a language that they can all understand, and you're coming down to their level. And you're just giving them the safe space to work through their own crap, essentially, like anything that could be bothering them. Like, it's amazing what comes up in a sand tray, like the stuff that we were working through in a sand tray. And some of these kids, they mightn't even want to go to the beach, and we live in Yall, and they mightn't like the beach. But at the same time, you would see them in a sand tray, and it's just the emotion that comes out. It's amazing. It really, truly is amazing just seeing that kind of working through it. But it can be a journey to get there, to get to that actual emotional release. And it is a funny one when I'm trying to explain it to parents and parent interviews, like, you know, how the child is my client. I have no obligation to tell you anything that's going on in the room with the child. Like, that's a hard pill to swallow for a parent, especially when they're coming to me with something that may be wrong. And it's a funny one because parents are if with play therapy, it could be as simple as a child that's an only child and they can't share with other kids, they have a bit of trouble sharing, or it could be as serious as abuse. Like, it's all ranges of kids that can come to play therapy. Like, I think all kids would benefit from a course of play therapy at some stage in their life. You don't have to necessarily have a certain thing wrong to come. I think that's a bit of a misunderstanding that I get from a lot of parents, as they ask me, but my child isn't autistic, so it wouldn't work. And it's like, no, that's not necessarily the case. Yeah. Like, but more often than not, it's kids who aren't on the spectrum that I would work with. Yeah, yeah, more often than not. Yeah.
So it really helps the child to connect in with their emotions.
Definitely.
And gets a huge relief that they don't. And I suppose even in the world of psychotherapy, one of the things we talk a lot about is, you know, trying to get at the people at a younger age to teach them about feelings and emotions, because they don't learn that from their parents and they don't understand it. So, I mean, with play therapy, then to start understanding it at a younger age is must be really powerful.
It is. And it's really powerful to actually watch it happen, especially when you're having, like, say you have a child for 12 sessions. Now, the guideline is always 12 sessions, but more often than not, it's way longer than that.
Yeah.
But you'll always do 12 sessions and review a 10 to see how many more you kind of need.
Mm.
But it's amazing within the room to even see little things. Like, I mean, I distinctly remember one girl in my placement, and she'd pick up the phone, she'd have the toy phones now, and she'd be like, she was wondering, like the mother was wondering why she was so, she was getting so upset or terrified that she was going to upset her mum and like, oh mummy, like, am I making you angry? But she'd pick up the phone and she'd be like, right, you hold this phone and I'll hold this phone and I'm going to talk to you. And then she'd be literally effing and blinding down the phone to me. And it's like, that's a little bit of a learned behaviour, you know?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, there, and it's little things like that where, like, you see throughout the course of the sessions then how the phone, like the little phone conversations, might become a little bit more gentle or a little bit more like they're having nicer conversations on the phone, just because they're able to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just giving them that space, like, because kids are like sponges. They pick up absolutely everything. And it's a lot of these, like, I always remember when I used to teach swimming lessons here in Youghal, and I'd have the kids coming into me for swimming lessons, and they were absolutely petrified of the water, like terrified of the water. And then I talked to the parents and, like, were they always afraid of the water now? And then I used to lifeguard as well, so I'd see those parents bringing the kids in swimming at the weekends.
Mm.
And they'd be like, oh, don't put your face in the water now. Don't hold your breath. Oh my God, like, whatever. And it's like, I'm like, I wonder now where they got that fear of the water. Mm. You know, it's like, it's completely learned behaviors that you're trying to teach the kids coping mechanisms that they understand.
Yeah.
So, like, what I like to do in my sessions is in my one-to-one sessions is I'll get them to have I'll bring in like a little box, and we'll make our box together, like a little cardboard box, and we might paint it or decorate it whatever they want. And over the course of our sessions, we'll put bits and pieces that we had done into the box, but the box isn't allowed to leave the room until we're finished, at the end of our sessions. And then they will have built up a couple of coping mechanisms or a couple of different, like, emotional releases throughout the course of working together, and then they get to take that away then at the end, and they get to keep referring back to that. And the amount of parents that I've met afterwards who said they still go back to their box, and it's lovely, like, it's really nice, that something we worked on together, that they still see that this actually helped me, you know. It's amazing. You think that the kids, they're not listening or they're not doing anything, but that's why play therapy is designed for children. It's it's not designed to talk through emotions, or because they can't put words on their feelings.
No,
they can't.
No.
So it is, it's just something that I'm just so passionate about it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah,
you're getting that off me. Very passionate about it. It's amazing. It is.
And as I say to people in the world of psychotherapy, because I love my job as well, that it's not like going to work at all. Like,
Your
day goes so quickly, and
definitely.
It's just such, I call it my work a privilege.
Yeah, 100%. And it is. And it, like, even, like, I even say that to, like, my mom and my partner, like, just the fact that I was able to go away, and, like, even if I never worked in play therapy ever, the fact that I went away and got the qualification is something I'll never regret for the rest of my life. I just think that the knowledge I got was just so valuable to me.
Mm.
And even just because I find, like, I'm not actually actively working at the moment because I don't have a premises. A lot of my close friends know that I am a qualified play therapist, and they will come to me and be like, Becky, Jimmy now, he's having a bit of trouble. Like, what's the story? And just to be able to give, like, hang on now, take a step back. You're not doing anything wrong.
Mm.
Just reassess it from this angle, or maybe it could mean this, that, and the other. And it's just being able to give that little bit of advice. Like, I don't have kids myself.
Mm.
So it's just like being able to
to have that knowledge.
Yeah, just to have it there. Yeah. So it's really, really something I'm very grateful to have been able to do, even if it took me three years longer than I thought it was going to.
Well, and I'm sure in time you'll get your own premises and you'll be able to you'll be able to do more of this and do more of what you love to do, you know.
Hopefully. Now it is, like, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you, it's getting tougher and tougher to actually qualify in play therapy. So, like, there's all sorts of CORU, the governing body CORU, have kind of come in because play therapy has wanted to be deemed a psychotherapy for so long, and now CORU are coming in saying, right, you can be a psychotherapy, but you have to do a further qualification. The problem is, there is the qualification they want you to do is semi full time and multiple more hours, which is quite difficult for me to do when I have a full time business I'm running outside. So it's becoming quite difficult to become qualified in play therapy at the moment. So it's but it is something that I'm so passionate about. And even to be able to, like, I had wrote a children's book during lockdown. Thank you. Yeah, thanks very much. I had wrote a children's book about COVID and how to explain COVID to children, and it was for sale in Read and Write here. I think it was in the library as well, I think it might still be in the library actually, but I had
what's it called?
Dexter's Yellow Spots. A story basically about a little ant, and he contracts these yellow spots and he ends up infecting the whole colony, and they all have to work together to try and find a cure for it. So it's basically trying to explain the pandemic to kids in a child friendly way, because I have to say the pandemic was probably the most challenging issue that was presenting itself to me with kids afterwards, because you would have kids who were kind of supposed to be starting school, a school age, and weren't in school because of COVID, etc. And they just had that little bit of a delay, and just like even kids who were struggling with coming out of coming out of school and the breaking routine, etc. Like, that was presenting itself as like this major challenge to me and to parents as well. So I kind of just wanted to have, I was inspired by all of that and that kind of issue, just to write the book. And I said it to myself, if this book is the only thing that ever comes out of my qualification, then I'd be delighted. Happy out with it now. It's for sale on Amazon.
You get your plug in.
My plug. I'm throwing it in there.
What's the name of the book again?
Dexter's Yellow Spots.
It's very good. Like, and I suppose even in the world of psychotherapy, I'm seeing now that people are coming out and struggling with problems the first lockdown had, and the whole COVID and all that sort of stuff. And it's probably going to be the same in children. I'd say we'll see it over the next couple of years.
And the thing is, it's funny because, like, especially with kids on the spectrum, like, I found that they thrived during lockdown. Like, parents are saying that this is their dream come true. Yes, I don't have to go anywhere. Yes, I don't have to see anyone. Yeah. Living the dream, happy out. And it was just that trying to get them back into a school environment and the routine. But it was funny because even kids who had no diagnosis of autism or anything, and they were really, really struggling, like especially the young age, kind of 5, 6, 7, really, really struggling with kind of going back into a school environment.
And social anxiety, like, you know what I mean?
I think we all had a bit of it, didn't we? I'd be guilty of it now. If when people would be asking me to meet up now, I'm like, oh God, do I really want to do that now? You definitely have a lot of residual kind of anxiety over it, because, I mean, God, you'd be strange not to. I mean, it's great the world is kind of opening back up or whatever, but at the same time, you have to process those emotions.
As long as you're stepping into the fear, like, you know what I mean? That's the problem, like, it's the fear
that's the thing.
So much fear around everything and anything, like, you know, that's the problem,
exactly.
So if you step away from the fear, you have no problems, you know?
If it was only that simple. And that's the thing with the kids, definitely. It's the whole, like, kids would be much, like, when you have a child there saying, I don't want to go to school, mommy, I don't want to go to school, daddy, I'm not going in, I'm scared, teacher will give out to me, I don't know how to do this homework, or, like, that is, for a child, that is the most crushing fear. Like, they are petrified, and it's so, like, you have to, like, I think with parents as well, that there's a little bit of both ways, where parents are super understanding and they're like, oh my God, like, he's really, really struggling, or they're like, oh God, he's just so bold, he just won't go in. And it's like, you know, and it's like, it's not a boldness thing, it's a fear. And kids will come up with every excuse under the sun. Like, their tummy becomes sore immediately and the thing is, their tummy might be sore, they might really be feeling it, because as an anxiety, I don't know about you, but for me, I feel it in my tummy. That is a pain that they are genuinely feeling. So trying to work through that I remember one of my placements I did in a school here in Youghal, and it was lovely, like, to have, be able to give the kids that bit of a break away from the classroom environment. Mm. And like, teachers were saying to me that when they went back in, it was like a different child. They just were coming back in, just getting that little movement break and being able to play in the sand for 40 minutes, and it was like they were completely like whatever they had done in there, it might, like, and the thing is that it mightn't be super obvious to me, but to them, they're working through it, and it's lovely. It's really, it's just the most rewarding thing.
So we're coming to an end of our very interview.
I'm not being able to stop talking.
No, you're grand. You know, as you were talking there, I was just thinking, you know, and I mean, I know I'm throwing this at you, but you know, what message would you like to give out to parents there at the moment with children, and that they're struggling an awful lot with the fear and stuff like that? What advice would you give them for their children?
The way I'd say it is, however hard it is for you, it's 10 times harder for them. Yeah. And like the way that they don't want to be upsetting parents or making parents feel like that they're at their wits' end or whatever. Like however hard it is for you, it's 20 times harder for them. And just try and put yourself in their little shoes for 10 minutes and just have a think about how they're feeling. And then, like, I always find, like, we always say in play therapy is repeat it back to them. So, like, or like reflect back to them. So if a child is really like going mad or having a little bit of a meltdown, it's like, oh, I can see that you're feeling like this, or I can see that, like, just to be able to say, I'm here and I see that this is how you're feeling, like, that can be so much, rather than stop that now, stop crying or stop this, or it's like, I can see it's really frustrating you, and just to be able to meet them at their level and validate their feelings. It's just like, that is huge. And that will be carried through teenage years when it becomes really important. So it's just, it's like, you're not doing anything wrong. That's what I'm like, you're not doing anything wrong, and just keep going. They'll be grateful of it when they're older.
Well done, Becky. I look forward to reading your book at some stage.
Thank you very much.
I might get it in the library or something. But, you know, thanks very much for coming on.
Not at all. My
pleasure.
Thank you.
And talking with such passion about play therapy. You know what I mean? I can't wait for you to get your own premises and get going, you know.
That's it.
So I asked you before we came on about your favourite song, and you decided on Tom Petty, Free Falling.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. This brings you back your happy feeling.
It sure does. Yeah. This was one of my lost my dad when I was 9, and this was my dad's favourite band, so I'll always request a Tom Petty song.
And what was your dad's name?
Peter.
This is for Peter.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long living in Reseda, there's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. With broken hearts, now I'm